This is Phil Ferrand. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It's been a good week. Been a little rushed in a couple of spots, but it's been a good week. I was trying to get some things finished up this week. I can't remember. Glory. So, earlier this week, we closed up the end of the month, got all that done. There was some stuff I had to do for that, and then we got that out of the way. Then I had a form that I had to get rebuilt and simplified, got that out of the way, and then, there's more stuff to do there, blah, 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 blah. I was bombing along. And I was going so good, and then my little development box that I use for this business process management system just stopped sending emails. We were having a little trouble communicating with the Exchange server, and so that was bad. And then it turned out to just be this oddball problem that wasn't easily fixable. So that kind of slowed me down a little bit, but I hopped over onto another project, and ta-da-da-da-da. But now that it is the end of the week, I think we're good. I'm not ready for the deployment that we were supposedly going to do on Monday, but we'll shift that to Tuesday. I will get ready on Monday for that. We'll get that taken care of. So it will all be fine. Writing is going fine. I'm doing the read-through on book 16 right now, and I'm up to the last few chapters now, so I should probably get that finished up tomorrow. And then we start working on the cover. So, gotta figure out whether or not I'm gonna get both grandkids on the cover this time. We'll see. My grandson is not too thrilled with this process, but that's okay. So, you know, he has his life to lead, so that's okay. There's a little plane, little plane flying around up there. Anyway, sorry, just distracted. It looked almost like it was some kind of an ultralight for a moment there. By the way, it was banking and turning, but I think it's a little Cessna. Anyways, so the writing is going fine. I was just thinking this morning when I got up and I was like, oh yeah, because in just a couple of weeks here, I got to start book 17. I was like, I wonder what's going to happen in book 17. I don't really know. So yeah, because this is like the last set of eight, and I know the anchor points, but as far as the individual books and what's happening in the individual books, I kind of know what's going on in the last one and where we need to get to make that last one work. But I've left myself a lot of openings. So we'll just go see. It's just so interesting. Because, you know, Book 16 was a little easier because it was a two-parter. Book 15 and book 16 are like back-to-back. And I had left everyone in a general state of alarm and danger by the end of book 15, so I had to get that resolved. And then once I got that resolved, then of course you have to deal with the fallout of the danger and that kind of stuff, and I already knew how book 16 was going to end. So, you know, that was pretty easy. So we'll see. I mean, I've made it this far. Basically two-thirds of the way through this series of 24 books. I think we'll be fine. We'll figure it out. And now I can really start accelerating. Because up to this point, I've kind of been holding back. You know, just kind of holding back a little bit. Because I had more story to tell, but now it's gonna start being time to kind of wrap up the storylines and start doing, you know, things getting worse and worse and worse and worse and people dying Because this is the nightmare scenario. It's called the nightmare opus, actually, the last eight books. First eight books were the conviction opus, second eight books were the revelation opus, and then this set of eight books will be the nightmare opus. So it's been fun. This has been fun. And by the time I get these books done, I will be retired. Lord willing, Crick don't rise and the devil don't enter, as they would say sometime in the Ozarks. So it is within sight now. I mean, granted, each of these books are 150,000 words, which means that you take 150,000 times 8, and that's 1.2 million words I have left to write. Oh, yeah, when you put it that way, it sounds like a lot. 1.2 million words I have left to write, but you know what? Step at a time. Step at a time. This whole thing has been a step at a time. I should note that my heat is not working in my car, which would be fine under normal circumstances since we are in the first week of March. But apparently there's a winter storm advisory out for tomorrow. So we're going to get back down into the 12. But that's fine. I'll be wearing multiple layers tomorrow. It'll be just fine. I did have a fun... Speaking of costumes, I did have a fun experience on Friday that I can't talk about. I can't talk about, but it was really interesting. I'll talk about it in the weeks to come, if it all works out. It was very, very interesting. Yeah. So, more to come on that. Aside from that... Things are pottering along. All is well. God is good. God is so good. So good. It's interesting to be on the far side of middle-aged, especially when you've had a chance as an individual to rely on the goodness of God and see His goodness and experience it and have enough experience and enough awareness of His goodness that you have a store to draw from, even when there are things that potentially could cause you concern about the future. It's just such a privilege to have lived in the goodness of God. You know, there is that. Whew, I'm going to get choked up here. There is that song, "All My Life You Have Been Faithful. All my life You have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God." It's true, it's true, it's true. Goodness, it's true. And it's good to be this far on this side of it and aware enough of it that even when there are things that are coming up that I'm facing down, I can still say to myself, you know what? Step at a time. Step at a time. We're going to get there. It'll be fine. The young man who lives in our rock house had some exploratory... exploratory stuff to kind of check on a situation with him. And it was sort of inconclusive, so they're trying to figure out the next steps, and I can tell he's nervous about it. And, you know, so I'm encouraging him, saying, you know what, you don't know till you get there, and God's going to be with you, and He's going to walk beside you, and He's going to, you know, but he's in his mid-20s and has... had some difficult things in his background as he's been growing up. And he hasn't had the time yet to discover just how good God is. And to make that really a part of his experience. And so it's really fascinating to watch him grow in that and watch him move forward But I just keep encouraging him and keep trying to stay focused. Stay focused on God's goodness. Because you can count on him. You can count on him to be faithful. It's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. Anyways, we do have small groups tonight. So as soon as I get back home, I'm going to be signing off as quickly as possible so that I can vacuum rugs and we can get ready and I can print out questions. And we had last week, we were, as I had mentioned, we were actually just going out to a restaurant, had a lovely time chatting and about this, that, and the other, and it was good. It was very, very good. Tonight's going to be a little more structured, so we'll have our devotional, and then we'll go through the questions. And it's always good. It's just always good to get together and share. And I'm hoping we'll have most everybody back tonight, because it's been between COVID surges, Omicron COVID surges, and weather. Woo! Weather. We just got our weather canceled a week ago last Thursday night because it was just so cold and winter storm stuff and slick and icy and all that kind of good stuff. But this week, we're back together, which is fun. So I came across this article. And the name of the article was, "What is," and then they had this word in quotes. And the word in quotes was spelled B as in boy, B-I-G-O-R-E-X-I-A. B as in boy, I-G-O-R-E-X-I-A. And I'm trying to guess how in the world that thing is pronounced. And I jokingly said to myself, "Well, that's probably bigorexia." And I thought, no, this is supposed to be a scientific term. It can't be bigorexia. And so I finally looked it up to figure out, you know, had Google tell me. It is bigorexia. I was saying this must be biorexia. It must be, you know, something to do with. It really is just two things getting smashed together in a new term. Big is one of them. And the other one is anorexia, which is the other. Except anorexia actually has a root, an, without, A-N, and orexia, which is appetite or desire, you know, to long for, and it literally means to reach out, stretch oneself out, stretch, you know, so it's that you're not doing that. And of course, anorexia, short a lot of times for anorexia nervosa, afflicts people who are dysmorphic about the way their bodies look, and so they typically are not eating, and so then they get really thin. So someone thought, oh, well, that's usually affects young women, and since this other thing usually affects young men, then we should call it some sort of orexia as well, except that's not what orexia means. You know, it means appetite and stuff, and means without appetite, and so that makes sense. Bigorexia doesn't make any sense at all. It's just a new word, which that's what you gotta appreciate about the English language. We just do that, which is just fine, and we just redefine words, as we've talked about before. So, what is bigorexia? That is the title of this article. What is bigorexia? And this is just another one of these things that are unintended consequences of gamifying the level of attention that you get from people and creating platforms that potentially allow you to reach more people than you could have reached realistically any other way. I mean, honestly, this... what people can do now with social media platforms in terms of reach. You know, you look at someone like a Kim Kardashian, and I don't know what the number is. It's somewhere around 250 million or something like that. Two followers. 250 million plus followers. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And, you know, people with a million, 2 million followers, 100,000, trying to build it, because there's money there. There's money, but there's also accolades, and there's attention, and there's approval, and there's all these things that, you know, light us up as human beings of what we're looking for. And so, bigorexia is about what has happened to young men. And in terms of becoming more muscular. And that places like TikTok and YouTube and those places where men are working out, you know, they're becoming really ripped. Then taking pictures of themselves and getting followers, and now their whole life revolves around trying to add muscle mass, trying to get more defined. So the article started off by talking about a young man named Bobby. He's 16. He's a junior from Long Island. And he has spent years, at 16, he has spent years whipping his body into shape through protein diets and works out. So between rounds of Fortnite and homework, Bobby goes online to study bodybuilders like Greg Doucette. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. A 46-year-old fitness personality who has more than 1.3 million YouTube subscribers. Bobby also hits his local gym as frequently as 6 days a week. Okay, well, this is what he, you know, wants to do. Bobby is posting his own workouts to TikTok and shot on his iPhone 11, usually at the gym or in his family's living room. The videos are devoted to topics like how to get a gorilla chest, Popeye forearms, or Lil Uzi's abs. So, you know, you've got this young man who is 16 who is really dedicating himself to this. And, you know, there's not really anything wrong with that per se. Except, unlike his father's experience, his father was talking about this, and he was saying, yeah, well, when I was growing up, there was bodybuilder magazines, and I used to look at them, and blah, 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 blah. But the difference now is that as his body mass, Bobby's body mass grows, so does his online audience, which, of course, is a source of income for them. It's a source of accolades and affirmations. And Bobby says, young guys see me as their idol. He has 400,000 followers on TikTok. They want to be just like me, someone who gained muscle as a teenager. And they were talking to another young man named Elliot, and he says, you know, girls discuss those pressures more, but it's completely the same for boys, Elliot says. I feel like I'm trying to be some character just to get more views rather than the person I want to be. See, obviously for me, what is happening here is there is a desire and there is a goal, which there's nothing wrong with either of those, but of course the flesh is going to push into that and then distort it and use it as a source of anxiety, and use it as a source of frustration, and use it as a source of obsession, and then turn it to destruction. And unfortunately, that's what the flesh does. So the quest for the perfect pecs, the article says, is so strong that psychiatrists now sometimes refer to it as bigorexia. Ooh, that's just trying to be a bit too clever there. I'm getting my mail. One moment. A form of muscle dysphoria exhibited mostly by this poor... There's been a poor wasp inside our mailbox for easily a week now, and it just keeps getting weaker and weaker. Poor little wasp. A form of muscle dysphoria exhibited mostly by... Oh, stop it. Mostly by men characterized by excessive weightlifting, a preoccupation with not feeling muscular enough, and a strict adherence to eating foods that lower weight and build muscle. So it is related to anorexia. The condition can also lead young men to become obsessed with their appearance, checking themselves in the mirror either constantly or not at all. So, you know, it's just interesting that there is always this tension in life of dedicating yourself to something, of trying to achieve goals, but you always have to continually try to keep things in balance. So, and unfortunately, it's very difficult to keep things in balance, and often it's easy for them to get out of balance and then for people to recognize, whoa, this is not good. So they were talking to someone named Mr. Edwin, and he says in this article, I've completely lost my social skills. He misses birthday parties, avoids socializing with friends because he fears, quote, the next day's workout and how that could affect my muscle growth. Adding, there are so many memories I've missed because I've been at the gym. I basically don't leave my house besides for groceries, work, and the gym. Another one of these guys was talking about that even when they're out with people and they're doing things, they're thinking, well, if I was just at the gym doing more arm curls, that would be better. Okay, well, if you get to the place where your life is so obsessed that you don't have the time to talk to anyone else, whatever. Edwin did go on to say, if there was no social media or internet, I probably wouldn't even care about my physique, to be honest, he said. And so this is just, it's just an example of how you can have something that has many good aspects to it, like exercising, building muscle, getting more healthy. But if you don't watch what the flesh is doing to you, it can just drive you into obsessions. So speaking of this young man, Edwin, he said at first he thought a muscular physique might be a way to make new friends, especially among the girls at school. But most of the attention has come from other boys on TikTok looking to get buff. Quote, your only new friends are the weights, he says in one video. Yeah. So, you know, really the takeaway here is that, first of all, bigorexia really isn't a word, but it will be soon, apparently. So in case you hadn't heard of it, there it is. But really, the takeaway here is that we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit. We need to be listening to those around us so that as we move through this life, that we can find balance. Because there's just so much in this life that is so good. It's just so good. He's so kind and so generous to us. And it's our lives here are such a great and grand adventure that we need to remember that we should just stay under the umbrella. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Just stay under the umbrella and rejoice and celebrate every day and interact with others and bring kindness and bring peace to them and bring something positive to them. That's really goodness. My new little experience that I had last weekend, it was just lovely. Not because of what I was doing in that I'll talk about eventually, but just interacting with new people and laughing and smiling. And even though the situation was a little weird, just that experience. And the person I had gone down to have the appointment with, you know, she wrote me later, and not to toot my own horn, but this is where living a life that is within the guardrails of what Christ provides for us. We had taken some pictures, and so she sent me the pictures, and she said, everybody down here just loved you. And I mean, what a privilege. What an absolute privilege to live a life such that you can interact with other people and bring them light and bring them hope and bring them a little joy and some positivity, especially with everything that's going on now. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.